Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Barbara DeLong, Ken Gooseward, let's explore this journey before Roswell. What do you think, and you have a lot in the book, were the most significant sightings we need to understand about?
Well, I can tell you what my favorite bit of trivia is. Do you know who the first human to shoot down a UFO was?
Tell us.
Anybody?
Go for it. Tell us.
It was the Red Baron. And it's documented. And they interviewed somebody that was there. It was the German Red Baron. He shot down a UFO. It crashed, by a woods, and the pilot got out and ran into the woods. But he is the first documented person to actually shoot down a UFO.
Yeah, that's in the book. And I have no reason to disbelieve that story because, this was prior to the government getting their fingers involved. And, it seems to be just one person's account of what he saw, which to me, I lean towards, the side of credibility when it comes down to an eyewitness testimony.
Well, how about the Fatima one? I can't remember which of the appearances, but wasn't there a silver disc at one of the Fatima?
In 1917, I believe it was 1917. And there was, this was a really weird event because, firstly, there's some other things going on around it, that sort of comes into play now and then, across paranormal phenomenon, but is not typically one of the components of UFOs. And by that I'm referring to like a prophetic element. Now you do see this as well in the Mothman prophecies, and probably in other ones that I'm not familiar with. But with Fatima, essentially there was some children who had what you might call a religious experience where they, in their minds, they saw, or somehow they claim that they saw, and I don't know what they mean by that, they saw the Virgin Mary. And she told them, basically long story short, she told them, I'm going to come back in, however long it was, a month later or something like that, and, you guys should meet me in, the town of Fatima. Well, word got out, and on the day of when Mary was supposed to arrive, there was, I think it was something like 10,000 tourists had come to the city because they wanted to see the Virgin Mary. And did the Virgin Mary appear? Well, something appeared. It didn't look like a woman. So it's a very strange story. And the eyewitness testimonies, of which there are numerous recordings, like in terms of paper, newspaper interviews and whatnot, a lot of people were interviewed by the press, and their stories are similar, but not all exactly the same. So it's quite odd where, again, it's sort of like Barbara's experience at college, where the person standing beside her didn't see it. And yet a whole bunch of people did see it. But in the case of Fatima, most people said that they saw something. But the way that they described it was made you wonder if they were seeing the same thing. Maybe it was the same thing, but they are just using different, metaphors to describe it or whatever. But in most of the, like if you kind of gloss all those accounts together, there seemed to be some kind of shining object in the sky. And that's kind of all that I can say about it. In terms of what it was, well, I don't know. And it doesn't exactly match with most of the other sightings that we investigated in our book, which generally have that metallic attribute. And a lot of times, well, there are some things that are similar because it's glowing. It's a bright object, which is very often the case across the entire history of UFOs.
Well, I can think of two sightings that you know were really profound. One is the Phoenix Light, and Lynn Katai has brilliantly reported on that one. And it's sort of like you can't question it because so many people saw it. And then, of course, the Battle of Los Angeles, again, thousands of people saw it. So, like I said before, there are UFOs. There are flying things in the sky that you have no explanation for what they are. They're silent in a lot of cases. There's no air displacement or anything like that. And yet there's no explanation for it. I think the one thing that is now the Battle of Los Angeles happened during wartime, so I understand why they fought it, why they sent planes up and stuff. But the reality is we tend to attack things before we know what they are or who they are. And today you have to, because otherwise it could kill you. So that we have a society where when something is strange, let's destroy it because we don't have time to see if it's peaceful or not. And if I was a UFO, I wouldn't want to come down here either, because we tend to kill things we don't understand. Now, be they good or be they bad, there has to be a better way of communicating with them, because frankly, if they just landed on the town green, the first inclination would be to control it, to take it into custody and to interrogate it rather than try to talk to it.
The Fatima case is really interesting to me, because the initial experience that the children had with the woman, as they initially called her, she didn't look anything like the traditional perception of the Virgin Mary. She was described as being kind of short and wearing an all white kind of modern looking outfit, and then wearing some kind of hat. And her description sounds an awful lot like some of the Space Brother accounts from the 1950s. And it wasn't until later, when the children had another experience with this being and they started asking her if she was the Virgin Mary, then whatever this woman was started to take on that persona. And we see that throughout UFO history, that our belief systems seems to play a major part with this phenomena. If you go into it looking for angels and demons, then you're going to find angels and demons. You go into it looking for ET, you'll find ET.
Well, isn't that the case usually, that when something unusual that has never happened before, the only way you can describe it is from your frame of reference?
Exactly. It's like whatever it was that happened at Roswell. We now know from a lot of the internal memos that managed to survive the purge, that the military wasn't even considering extraterrestrials or flying saucers. I mean, that wasn't something people thought about. Instead, they were worried that they were looking at maybe something from the Soviet Union or, a Nazi secret weapon of some kind.
We'll look into what those possibilities and more with Barbara. Gene, Ken, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guide with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So let me ask you just quickly, Tim, do you think that Roswell may have been just an experiment gone bad rather than a balloon or a spaceship?
Oh, I don't know. That's one of those things that, you know, right now, as Ken had said earlier, you know, the waters have been muddied so much, you know, you can't tell just exactly what went on. I mean, I do think something unusual happened. I mean, you have, you know, Jesse Marcel Jr., who is very familiar with aircraft and other stuff and balloons that were going on in that time, and he was flummoxed by the material that he found. Now, I'm not talking about the alleged bodies, that wasn't even written about until years and years later, but there was unusual material found that seemed to confound a lot of the people at that time.
Anyone can take over here, guys. Ken?
Yeah, I guess. Well, actually, I would like to go back to one thing. You mentioned Carl Jung earlier, and you know, it's true that he did write a number of papers and articles during his period when he was investigating UFOs as a phenomenon, and of course, Jung being the quintessential phenomenologist. His real interest was not so much what is it or what is going on, but his real interest was the psychological aspects of what may or may not be going on. And so he was really asking the question, what did people see? What did people perceive? And see isn't even the right word. What are people perceiving, and what meaning are they assigning to it? He wrestled with these questions for a number of years, and I mean, it was never his full-time focus or anything, but it was sort of a side project of his for a long time. And what most people don't know, and I believe that this is true, I again, there's an element of is this false or true information, but the information that I have come across in terms of investigating what conclusion Jung actually came to, was that near the end of his career or his life, I don't remember if it was wasn't a deathbed confession or anything like that, but later on, after he had already written some material on what are UFOs and really not coming up with an answer, he later on, in a private letter to a friend, basically said, you know, I have to admit, there's something actual and physical and real. You cannot explain this phenomenon purely in psychological terms, which was sort of what he was trying to do earlier. I mean, he's a psychologist. Of course, that's his field of expertise. But he eventually, it seems, was forced to conclude that there was a physical reality to these objects that were in the sky, and it was not purely a perceptual. Some of the language he had used earlier was like, you know, a manifestation of an archetype. Which, I mean, what does that mean? Ideas are great. You know, an archetype is essentially an idea, but those ideas don't just become a physical object. Well, they do, in a way, if you look at the human imagination and how that leads to invention and technology. But in terms of simply manifesting because somebody thinks they see something, that's not something that I've ever seen happen or that I'm not convinced that that's something that's even a possibility.
I don't know. I mean, I look at how the UFO phenomena has evolved over the years. And, you know, your book is a really great example of a lot of these older cases. I mean, you know, going back hundreds of years where sometimes the reports would, I mean, they were just, you know, very basic, you know, a fiery shield in the sky, that sort of things. But then there are reports where people seem to put in their own perspective, ideas onto it. And you know, we see that today where the popular idea is that UFOs or extraterrestrial spacecraft. And I think that's what people are expecting. So, you know, is the phenomena exactly as we're seeing it, or somehow, or, you know, like Young Baby was suggesting, are we able to manipulate it and give it a reality of its own?
I was just going to say, look at the tomb cover in Fakal. You know, they're calling it an astronaut because that's what we're interpreting it as from our perspective. But, you know, you have a point that all we have to use as a reference point is our own experience, and we may be seeing things that are beyond our experience, and ergo have no way of really accurately describing what we're seeing.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, honestly, I don't think that the tomb of Fakal, the sarcophagi lid of King Fakal in Mesoamerica, I don't see that as a particularly great example. In terms of, you know, it looks cool when you see it on TV, but you know, is that claim, does it really have very much basis? And in my opinion, that's one of the weaker examples that I can think of that is typically used to support ancient alien theory. However, I want to mention the so-called pillar of fire that appears in the Book of Exodus. So in my book UFOs in the Bible, I talk about it a lot, like quite extensively, and how it ties in with the other experiences of Moses and during the beginning of the Exodus. So I won't go into all of that detail, but just to say that the entire Israelite nation, which was several thousand people, minimal. Some estimates count them into the around 5 million range, so possibly up to 5 million people. And they are all not only witnessing a phenomenon, but following this thing around in the desert for 40 years.
Hey, before we follow these things any further, we have Ken, Barbara, yeah. Jean, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNLive.com.
USA News Update. Three women from Texas have been reported missing in Mexico. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis gearing up for his run at the White House.
The Florida governor gave a speech at a crowded casino in Davenport where he argued against what he called woke ideology and attacked the Biden administration on issues including crime and immigration. DeSantis didn't say anything about a GOP presidential bid, but is expected to run against former President Donald Trump in 2024. more. I'm Dave Collins.
Home Depot co-founder Bernie Marcus is warning Americans, saying the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank is devastating, urging Americans to wake up and understand that the U.S. economy is in tough times. Walt Disney Company's CEO Bob Iger has admitted that maybe the price hikes at Disney parks have been a little bit too aggressive. Corey Myers, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Ken, following this phenomenon around for 40 years?
Yeah. That's a long time. Like,
tell me about it.
I can't even imagine it. Like, I don't want to do anything for 40 years. I hope I'm not still even writing cool books in 40 years. Like, you know, that's just too long to do anything. And yet, these guys didn't seem to get tired of it, and they just kept following it around. I really have to wonder what the heck this supposed pillar of fire was doing in the desert, and why it seemed to be looking for something. Again, you have to read in between the lines a little bit here, but even without reading between the lines, these guys were definitely following a flaming object that existed, that was fiery, that caused smoke. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and that was also very loud and extremely dangerous. They had to stay 2 kilometers behind the thing as it went ahead of them. Like, what gives?
Barbara, do you have any ideas along those lines?
As far as the pillar of fire?
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, just that and, you know, maybe the whole biblical UFO thing.
Well, it's definitely there. You can see, well, look at Ezekiel and the wheels. The aspect of UFOs has been with us forever. And each generation in its own way interprets it in a different way. And of course, you know, we don't know back in China in what, 4,200 years ago, I think it was, something ridiculous like 42,000 years ago. Yeah, 45,000 years ago, there's a rock drawing of a UFO. So, and you don't know if some UFO stopped for a picnic and, you know, did graffiti on the wall. And now we're saying that the Neanderthals did it. You don't know. I think throughout time, we just don't know. And until we get to a place where there can be communication, we won't know. I think that the stories that are made up for the UFOs, for extraterrestrials, are in many ways just fabrications. We have no proof. Nobody has brought a UFO here and said, I'm from, Alpha Centauri and this is what we've been doing for millions of years. If that did happen, I think so many of us might be quite disappointed. It could be we're just observing a culture in its primitive state beginning to evolve toward a place where it can join us in our cosmic brotherhood or whatever. I happen to think personally that humanity as a whole is nowhere near ready to join any sort of community because all this planet seems to be able to do is struggle for control and fight each other. So we're not at a place where that can happen. But as far as the Bible goes, the Bible has clear representations of extraterrestrial or extraterrestrial technology for sure. Look at the Ark of the Covenant. You touch it, you die. So throughout time, we've had these kinds of representations of what people have gone through in that time frame, and all we can do is interpret it according to our time frame, which is very different. And now people are saying, well, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't really God's way of talking to the people. It was a way of communicating with extraterrestrials. I don't know. I have no idea which is the truth, and I don't know that if in my lifetime we'll ever know.
I think I remember reading somewhere that based on how the Ark of the Covenant was constructed, that it actually would have made a really good radio receiver and transmitter.
Yeah.
I actually have a diploma in electronics, and basically what the Ark of the Covenant is a capacitor.
Okay.
So that is a device that stores energy. We use it. It's one of the basic four building blocks of electronics. You need to be able to store electricity, usually for a short time. If you're going to store it for a long time, you're going to want to use a battery or something. But a capacitor gives you the ability to store that energy in between the peaks. Because most of electronics is very pulse-based. So you have peaks of electricity coming through your system, and you're trying to funnel it around to various places. And so really when you have two layers of a conducting material with an insulator in between, that is fundamentally a capacitor. There's also a lot of very unusual objects in the Bible which appear to have electrical properties. One of them is the so-called bronze serpent, which Moses apparently uses as some kind of healing device, but it may also have a telecommunication aspect to it. It appears to be basically a copper wire wound around a wooden stick, which if you do that, you're going to create an electromagnet, or also in terms of simple electronic devices or components. The other thing that you usually use in conjunction with a capacitor is another little bit of electronics called a inductor, which is essentially a coil of wire. So you've got your coil of wire, you've got your inductor and your capacitor together. That's really all you need in order to make a radio receiver or a radio transmitter for that matter. So it's odd that these components keep popping up. There's also a lot of other kind of telecom sounding devices in the Bible, because aside from the Ark of the Covenant, which does have a communication aspect to it, there's also the Urim and the Thummim, which is another communication device that the high priest was supposed to wear. There's also the Tent of Meeting, which is what they used before they built the Ark of the Covenant. And that's an interesting one because specifically, so Moses and his brother Aaron were kind of the high priest guys. And it's stated that Aaron would basically stay in the tent of meeting all the time in case anybody wanted to come and needed to talk to Yahweh. So any member of the community could come up to Aaron in the tent of meeting, and essentially it was like a phone booth where they could somehow get in touch with Yahweh. At this point, Yahweh was up on top of Mount Sinai in what appears to be a large mothership. Again, like there's all this stuff that's all interrelated. And it's kind of incredible to think, like, what does this mean? Because if you just say, well, that's crazy. They don't know anything about these kinds of technologies. Well, then why would they go to the trouble of making these technologies or making these components, let's say, or objects that actually function with electrical properties? The other one here to mention is the cherubim that are on top of the Ark of the Covenant. So the cherubim is probably one of the most mysterious and fascinating things that I've come across ever, because not only does it appear to be it's a man-made device. We know that. But in the book of Exodus, Yahweh hands Moses a blueprint, and not only that, he actually trains one of Moses' one of his other guys, a guy by the name of Bezalel.
Hey, we will continue with this, kind of wrap it up in our next segment with Ken and Barbara and Jean and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation
reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're looking here at biblical mysteries, interpreting them in modern terms with Ken Gooseberg. We also have Barbara DeLong and Gene and Tim. And let's continue, Ken, to explain this, because what you're telling us here is this is all clear as a bell that they were dealing with some kind of technology that only makes sense in modern times, correct?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's also a couple of other things. There's a guy named Joshua who takes over from Moses. And essentially, he records a speech in front of the entire nation of Israel. And he says, hey, you guys all agreed that you're going to go do this thing that we agreed on. I'm going to put your words will be your testimony, he says to them, and I'm going to bury them under this tree. I don't know about you, but I don't know of any way to bury the words under a tree unless those words are recorded somehow. Now, you could argue that it was simply somebody transcribed the conversation. Okay, that's possible. But the way that they describe it, it actually sounds a lot like some kind of crystalline recording device. And these crystals pop up elsewhere in regarding with the Ark of the Covenant, as well as the stuff that goes down on Mount Sinai. But back to the cherubim, just briefly, I don't want to take too much time about this, but the cherubim appears to be, in some of the descriptions, appears to be a technology. It's something that's fabricated by Moses' associates based on blueprints that they received from Yahweh at the same time when they received the so-called Ten Commandments. And not only that, but you have to look at the etymology of the Hebrew word here, cherubim. Well, the ending, all words that end with I-M are, first of all, a plural, and they are also, the I-M indicates a plural being. So you wouldn't use that ending for, rocks or trees or even just like random things, but it implies that they are a human or something similar to a human. And the other place where we famously see a word that ends with I am is with the Elohim. And these Elohim are, many people will translate that as the great ones. But actually the root word in the Hebrew, for El is the word, it's the word El. So it's the Elohim, and El means two. So I'm going to the store. I'm going to the mountain. That kind of use of the word too. And so the Elohim are essentially, if you're going to translate that literally, are the people who came to us. I find that quite fascinating, and it also aligns very strongly with the stories in the Sumerian mythology, which, again, I have a couple of other books about.
You know, your book is just absolutely fascinating with all the different accounts and how, you know, if you would go and take a lot of them and say, just, you know, put them into a more modern time, they would be practically indistinguishable from more recent UFO phenomena accounts. There's one that I'm looking at right now. It took place in 48 before Common Era. It took place in Rome. It says, during the Civil War, a fire appeared in the air over Caesar's camp and sent thunderbolts falling upon Pompey's camp. Some distance away, two young men appeared to announce the results of the battle and then suddenly vanished. You know, I mean, that sounds like something that, you know, you'd hear about today.
Yeah, and it also sounds a lot like some of the biblical accounts, especially towards the New Testament accounts, where you typically have two men in white, or, you know, often they are it's translated as angels, and they are usually giving some kind of message. But yeah, you're right. It is the same kind of thing that you might find in Rendlesham Forest, or in the desert of New Mexico, where there is a ship and there's people and they're telling you stuff. So I guess this is kind of the main fascinating point for me, is that these patterns don't change. These are patterns that are consistent throughout the entire history of what we now call UFOs, but what the ancients called gods or angels, or simply they actually knew their names, like in the Sumerian legends and myths. You have figures like Enki and Enlil and Anu, and these are people with proper names. So they don't refer to them as the gods because they have their real name, and yet these are people who have come from space and have come here to do like whatever it is that they're doing, and it appears to be some kind of business, like enterprises.
It's not the enterprise, because they will engage with us.
Okay, so basically there's physical beings that you're describing. They're here for a purpose. We can't know what that purpose is. They could tell us that purpose, but that's it. Let me ask you briefly before we wrap up the main show. Do you think we'll ever solve these mysteries?
I think yes, we will. And, you know, it goes back to the whole time travel thing that Barbara mentioned earlier. Is it physically possible to do time travel? Well, you know, not too long ago, physicists would have said no way. But now there seems to be more of a shift to that. Because we understand the laws of physics at a more deeper level, and we understand how weird they are and how they're able to be bent, and, you know, we have black holes and we have quantum and we have all these very strange things happening in the universe, I think that it's only a matter of time until our level of physics advances to the point where we can bend time.
Barbara, quickly, do you think we'll ever solve these mysteries?
I think that we will solve them, but they will be replaced by even greater mysteries.
The eternal search for greater and greater mysteries. I'm going to ask you this separately. Ken, if our listeners want to know more about what you do, where do they go?
My website is dimensionfold.com, and there's links there to all of my other stuff.
Barbara, where do we find more of your stuff?
You can find me at barbaradelong.com. Real easy.
Are you guys going to collaborate on any future books?
Actually, yeah.
I'm doing some publishing for Barbara, some of her other projects. She's got a card deck. Well, maybe we can talk about that later in the premium show. But yes.
Works for me. You can find us on Twitter. While there still is a Twitter and we don't know with Elon Musk in charge, and I just criticized him, so he'll probably throw me off. In any case, we can be found on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. And mostly we just publish show announcements, so don't expect to interact with us very much. It's a little bit more active over at Facebook, where there is a Paracast group and a Paracast fan club. And you pick your poison, whichever one you like, and we can put our announcements there, but we can't put the URL for theparacast.com because they don't like us. And our friend Tim Swartz has conspiracyjournal.com. That's his site. And they won't let him do that either. Okay? We're trying to figure out that and why that works or doesn't work. One day we'll even get a response from Facebook as to why that happens. We also sell branded merchandise exclusively for Paracast listeners or anyone who goes to theparacast.shop. Theparacast.shop. We have throw pillows. We have T-shirts, great T-shirts, as a matter of fact. And we have caps and a bunch of other stuff with four different logos to choose from. Visit theparacast.shop. And for the premium version of this show, plus another show after the Paracast, visit theparacast.plus to sign up. We give you this show free of the network ads, better audio, and the exclusive uncensored After the Paracast podcast, where we can reveal the name of one of Ken's books that we can't say on terrestrial radio. He'll tell us about that. After the Paracast and the Paracast, go to theparacast.plus. If you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, you get a 20% discount on 5-year lifetime memberships, theparacast.plus. Hey, Ken Goodsworth, Barbara DeLong, thank you both for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.